I'm going to be teaching this morning, so I'm going to ask you to just get yourselves ready out of Mark 14. They're going to put the scriptures up. We're going to read from verses 32 to 38. And just as we get ourselves ready, I want to say to you this morning, I come here as part of the family. I'm a friend. I'm not a specialist preacher or teacher in any way. I love the Lord. I love the local church, and I get hugely excited with the stuff that's happening in this context. And every time I get an opportunity to minister or share, I felt like the Lord reminded me a little while ago, you know, God speaks to me through sport. And I don't know if you guys have ever listened to the guys when they speak to the Proteas or the netball players or the rugby players. They often will say, every time I put that jersey on, it's a privilege. Because I run out and I don't know if I'm going to get that opportunity again. And for me, this is one of those moments. It's a privilege. I put on my number 9 jersey. I used to be a number 9. I know I don't look like it right now. But I put that jersey on. I say, God, I'm running out today for you. I want to bring you glory and honor. And I'm trusting what we do today will please you. That's the most important thing. All right. So I'm going to be faithful with what I believe God has given me. And then the other thing that I want to be faithful with is, wherever I'm going now, I just want to create space for God to do something here if that's what He wants to do. And so before I preach, perhaps you've come here this morning. Maybe you're battling with sickness. Maybe you're battling mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. What I would like to do is I want to pray for you this morning. I just want to create a space where we can let God move in our midst. Because when I read the Gospels, that's what I see God doing. He reaches people where they're at. We've had a wonderful testimony this morning by that lady that came up. And it's interesting, what I'm going to be sharing on is actually on olive oil. So God confirms His word. But if God can take care of the little things like that, which for some of us might seem insignificant, how much more will He do for us if we just are open? So I'm going to ask you to be brave this morning. I'm going to just pray a prayer, but I'm going to ask you, if you're sick, you're battling with something, you don't need to tell me what it is, but what I am going to ask you to do is to take a step of faith, and just where you are, I just want you to stand and say, will you pray for me? It's mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, maybe it's even financially. Just want you to stand and say, hey, Ants, will you pray for me? We're going to trust God to move in your situation. If that's you, will you stand? Thank you. As I pray, I take no glory for anything. I'm just being obedient. Jesus Christ is the dispenser of His Holy Spirit. He's the one who brings healing. He brings restoration. He brings comfort. He brings leading and He brings guidance. We're just creating this moment to say, God, come and have your way with us. If you want to just maybe just open your hands and receive from Him. Father, this morning, you see every man and every woman, young person that might be standing here today, those that are on their knees. Father, this morning, I want to ask you that you would sovereignly and supernaturally would you intervene in every single one of their circumstances and situations, Lord? Lord, where there is emotional stress, Lord, I want to almost say emotional trauma, there's a wrestling going on in some of these people's lives. There's a desperation. I want to pray by the power of your holy name that you would come and break into their lives. And Lord, that your peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord, will come and guard their hearts and their minds. Father, this morning, let no man claim any glory for the work that you will do here. But Lord, that they in themselves will know that your peace that surpasses all understanding will come and just bring a sense of calmness. Father, where there's a physical healing needed, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would touch them, heal them, restore them, and strengthen them. Father, where there is financial need, I pray, Father God, that you would be the one that will supply all of their needs according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Yeah, Father, I want to pray where there's emotional and mental almost I feel like people have been incapacitated, Lord. I want to pray that you would come and renew their minds by the power of your word now this morning. Holy Spirit, would you come and wash over their minds? Come and untangle that which has tied them up, twisted them up. I break it over them now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you set them free, because your word says if the Son set you free, you are free indeed. Lord, let them hold on to that this morning. Holy Spirit, would you come and just move over every person that has stood, those that are with their hands open, those that are kneeling. And Lord, maybe even those that didn't stand this morning. Would you come and just touch them? We thank you this morning. We're expecting for you to move. We don't understand your ways, but what we know, Lord, is that you are faithful. And when we ask and we call out to you, Lord, that you hear our prayers. So I thank you this morning that there will even out of this be testimonies. In Jesus' precious name we pray this. Amen. Thank you. And that's the most incredible thing is, I don't know how this all works, but what I do know is that God is faithful. And if the prayers get answered, please, and I say if and when they get answered, please go to your leadership. Please let them know what God has done for you, so we can have more of those testimonies like we had this morning. All right, so we're going to get into the teaching, and I want to honor time, so let's have a quick look here. All right. So we're going to read from Mark 14, and I'll just read from this side. So it says, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. So this morning I want to title my talk, Facing the Olive Press. And it's very interesting. As I'd been preparing this particular message, it's one of the messages that moves my heart quite significantly when I read the Bible. And I've often asked myself the question, if I had the opportunity to go to Israel, which part of Jesus' journey would I like to sort of go and spend some time at a particular place where I could say, okay, this was part of his journey? For me, it would be the Garden of Gethsemane. I wonder if you had the opportunity to go and spend time in Israel, what part of the journey would you like to sort of go and spend time in a place where you could just contemplate and think about this journey that Jesus went through? So this for me would be the one, definitely the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's very simple, because I think when I look at it, I cannot imagine what he must have gone through. I mean, if I think of our lives, many of us, there are people here with different circumstances and scenarios. We'll face things and we will think our life is tough. But I want to tell you something, put yourself in the shoes of Jesus. And ask yourself, what did he go through when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? I'm going to show you a few things here. It's interesting that the name Gethsemane means oil press. And Jesus was in an olive garden. And in that olive garden, there would have been a little oil factory there, where they would have got the olive together. And what they would have done is they would have crushed the olives and squeezed it to a point that oil would have been extracted from that. And it's actually quite interesting. I was just having a look at it. They reckon it'll take about 5 to 6 kilograms worth of olives to squeeze out about a liter of oil. So quite a bit had to be pressed to get that out. And so it was ironic that Jesus would find himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this was symbolic of what Jesus was going to go through, because he would have his fleshly desires crushed so he would find the strength to do God's will. And so when you look at Jesus, Jesus himself was not so much dreading his death, but what he was dreading was how he was going to die. Now, you might say, okay, well, what's the significance of this? Well, if you're making notes, Isaiah 52, from verses 13 right through to the end of Isaiah 53, we're not going to go through that now. I want you to do yourself a favor. Go and read those scriptures, all right? Because Isaiah 52, from verse 13 onwards, actually spoke about what Jesus was going to face. I want to ask you, if you knew that you were going to be beaten beyond recognition, if you knew you were going to be spat on and cursed and pulverized, would you still continue your journey? I think if some of us knew what we were going to go through before it actually happened, we'd probably run a mile. I would run a mile. I know what I'm like. I get man flu quite easily. And I get, you know, with this thing that I had this week, it's very easy to, I can't wash the dishes, or I can't do this, or I can't do that, because I've got man flu. It's very dangerous, man flu. But the point is this, if you know what you're going to go through, would you still follow through? And I'm going to say to us as a people that in this life, we are still going to have troubles. The Bible tells us that. And we're going to see some principles that Jesus gives us that will help us to overcome those things. Because some of you sitting here have already faced an incredibly difficult journey in this life. The Western culture says, you know what, think the best, do the best, be the best, and it'll all fall into place for you. But I don't know, but for me, when I became a Christian, I felt like there was a reverse gear put on my life. And life has not been that easy. But I'll tell you something, if it wasn't for Jesus in my life, I don't know where I would be today. I don't even know if I'd be married. I don't even know, I certainly wouldn't be here. Wouldn't have the children that we have. Wouldn't have the friendships that we have. So I'm very grateful for him that we stuck it out. So it's very interesting that when you look at Jesus, he knew what he was going to face physically, emotionally, mentally as his time approached. Yet, because he loved you and I, 2,000 years ago, he saw you and I. He said, I'm going to do this. I need to be here for the sake of you and for those that are lost. As mentioned, each one of us will face our moments. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's the loss of a business. Maybe somebody gets cancer or some kind of disease that becomes terminal. And the reality is, even in the Josh Gen congregations, we've had so many people on leadership and in the congregation that have got very, very ill. People have had operations, people have had cancer, people have died in the last week and a half in motor car accidents. Life happens. This is the reality of what's going to happen. The most important thing is that we would be ready for these moments. And despite them, that we will carry on because we trust God. That is vital. I've always said to Lee, and to my girls, if ever something ever happens to me, one of the things I would really ask for you to do is you continue to love the Lord and you continue to serve him faithfully all the days of your life. See, we don't just follow Jesus when it goes well. We've got to follow him in the good times and the bad times. In the bad times, when life gets hard, it shows our faithfulness towards a faithful God that we push through despite. So how do we do this? And that's a good question. I love coming to Somerset West because you guys ask those questions in your head and I can pick it up. How do we do this? All right. So let's see what the lessons are we can learn from this text. So the first thing that Jesus did here, and I think this is very, very helpful for us. What did he do? He ran to the Father. So if you're making notes there, your first point there is you can write there, he ran to the Father. And what he did was he made time for the Father. He demonstrated that when he took the disciples with him and he showed the importance of his relationship with the Father, even what Skulk shared earlier on. You know, we're not living this life because we want to get into heaven one day. We want to live this life. We already should know that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, that actually your salvation in Christ has come as a result of your faith in him. But we've still got to live this side of eternity. Imagine getting to that side and crossing the line and you've not built with him. I don't understand it all, but our job is to build relationally with the Father. And whilst we're walking this side of eternity, other people get to see the kind of relationship that we're building with the Lord. And so what's important is Jesus demonstrated to the disciples, run to the Father, and he made time to spend time with the Father. Second thing that he did in that is he made time for prayer. Prayer is a very, very powerful thing. I love what a guy, Rory Dyer, said years ago. He says, this is what prayer simply is. Lord, please help me. Why don't you say that? Lord, please help me. That's prayer. It's communicating with him and just saying, God, I acknowledge I need you. Every day I wake up, I realize more and more as I've got older how little I know and how much I need the Lord to get through each day. Thirdly, we see that what he does with running to the Father is he makes himself vulnerable. I'm going to ask if they could put up Psalm 42 verses 5 and 6 for us, please. This is David. Look at what David does. He says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Look at what Jesus does in John 12, verses 27. Now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. You see, the thing is, with our journey with God, one of the things we need to realize is that God wants you and I to be vulnerable with him. And I wonder sometimes if we can ever be real with God. We see David demonstrating it, and David was a man after God's own heart. Jesus, who was the Son of God, also spoke and was vulnerable with the Father. He cried out. He said, Lord, if it is possible that you can take this cup from me, let it be. He says, but not my will, but your will be done. Jesus understands everything that you and I have gone through at that time in the Garden of Gethsemane, every issue that you and I have faced in our life, he would have experienced in that moment, because he could identify with you and I. And so there is nothing that you are going through that he doesn't identify with. So if you are struggling, for example, in your marriage, Father, my husband being a bit of a jerk at the moment, I need you to break into his life. I need you to change him. But Lord, if there's an area in my life that needs to change, will you come and break into my life so that I can demonstrate the transforming power of the gospel? Lord, my business is in trouble and I need finances. If I don't get breakthrough, God, I'm not going to be able to continue. I'm not going to be able to feed my family and take care of my family. Lord, my wife is sick. She has got cancer. Lord, she is the bride of my youth, the one that you said that I need to have eyes for. And you pour out your heart to God and you express where you're at. Let me tell you something. God is big enough to handle that. He actually wants you to come and pour out your heart to him. The problem is we try to be all cookie cut with God. We need to be expressive and we need to be specific with some of the things that we want to deal with here. And write some of the stuff down and then trust God for breakthrough. I hope that's making sense. 1 Peter 5 verses 7, for those of you making notes, The Bible says, cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. Can you say that? Cast your cares. Let's say that. Cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. When you walk out here today, you need to know that you can take any situation to him and trust him because he cares for you, because he loves you. Now let's see what 2 Corinthians 10 verses 2 to 6 says. And this is why prayer is so important and making yourselves vulnerable before God. It says, I beg that when I come, from verses 3 it says, for though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine powers to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. What are we doing here? When we spend time with God and we say, God, I need your help. God, I'm trusting you. I'm needing breakthrough. What does the enemy come and do? You know what? Today you haven't been a great wife. You burnt the food. You moaned. You shouted at the kids. What does he do? He sows doubt, negativity. He tries to do the opposite of what the Bible teaches us. And we need to, as Christ followers, we need to take a stand. We need to rise up. And we need to say, this is what the Bible says. I'm in a difficult situation. Do I trust God enough to break through in this situation? And you start to pray. I stop that lie. You know, Lord, your word says that you will provide all that I need according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God, the reality is we will have the poor with us. God didn't say he was going to provide you with a Porsche or Ferrari. God didn't promise you that you would be a multimillionaire. What he did promise you is that he will take care of your needs. And let me tell you something. This is very humbling, and I'm sharing this because last year's COVID story impacted us. And I know Skulk's also involved in real estate, and so are we. We're out in Durbanville. But last year, the deeds office opened and closed continuously. I had deals that needed to pay out because my cash flow was lying there. That eventually, for the first time in my life, and I'm turning 52 this year, that I was in a space that the church had to help me and my family. For about 2 or 3 months, it was different amounts. And you know, at one point, I was selling Belega socks, dishwashing liquid, and I can't remember, toilet paper and whatever else. Amazing, the people were supporting us. And eventually at one point I said, you know, Lord, I don't understand you. In my life, all I imagined was, I'm going to study, I'm going to do this, and this is going to be my path. And I remember people saying, oh, you've done so well over the years, and the list just went on. And now I get to a ripe royal age in my life where I should be settling down, and I'm selling toilet paper, Belega socks, and all those things. And you know what? God just brought me to a place where he said to me, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And I will do what I need to do in your life so that my purposes will prevail. And you know what the funny thing was? That God supplied all of our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Not the way I thought it would happen. Because God eventually challenged me, and he said, you know what your problem is, Ants? You're self-righteous, you're self-dependent, you're self-sufficient, and actually you don't need me. Oh, that broke me. That broke me. Lord, how am I supposed to take care of my family? Well, am I not good enough to take care of them? I could take care of 2 million plus people in the desert for 40 years. I sustained them with food, clothing, shoes. They lack no good thing. As a matter of fact, he says, they didn't even need to run businesses, plant vineyards. He says, I cared for them. And you know what the sad thing was? They even grumbled when I did that. God, my heart is wicked before you. And it breaks me. I realized how much of the westernized culture has impacted my life, because I love the Lord, but the reality is, and I want to please hear me what I'm not saying here, God is okay for you to do well. All right? Where our heart is, that's where our treasure is. He's okay for you to do well. But in my journey, God needed to deal with this thing, because you see, my plan B was relying on my gifts, my talents, my abilities, my skills, my finances, and eventually God took 21 odd years to wipe all of that stuff out from underneath me. I wake up every day, I think, saying, God, I need you more than I have ever needed you before. I don't want to rely on self. That's very, very humbling. So I had to be real before the Father. And you know what? He wasn't interested in how I felt. He was more interested in what was happening in my heart and the things that needed to be changed there. So with that, we see Jesus praying before the Father. And the most important thing is that he was persistent before the Father. I want to share something about persistence, and that is just coming before the Father. He went back three times. Three times he called out to God. And eventually the breakthrough came where he said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. He knew what was going to happen, but there was something that needed to break internally inside of him, that it's no longer my will, Lord, your will. And that was the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon him to say, okay, Lord, I surrender. Now that which you need to do in my life, you do that. And therefore he was able to go to the cross for you and I. And it's a total submission that is required from each one of us. And the thing is, to get to that point, we need to push in until we get breakthrough. And I want to encourage you. You know, last year when we had lockdown, I'll never forget it. I think it was the 29th of March, lockdown happened. The 30th of March, I'm sitting outside, beautiful morning, quiet, and the world just seemed to be standing still. And a little, I think it's a sugar bird, came and sat on the bushes in our garden. And the Lord just said to me, and every day since then, that bird has been there. But the Lord just said to me, if I can take care of those little birds and provide for them, how much more am I going to do that for you? And I've had to just learn through all of this, as I pushed through, as I trusted God, God would move in a way where I come back and said, every time I see that bird, it's just a reminder, I pushed in, God, I'm trusting you for breakthrough, trusting you for this, I'm trusting you for that. He says, you need not worry. He said, if I come through for that little bird, I'll come through for you. Powerful, isn't it? Just for the record, by the way, I want to share the positive side of my business, which was extremely humbling. We had our best year ever last year. It was crazy. We ended off the year, once things got going, we ended off with our best year ever. I can't explain it. It's just how it is. And God needed to do what he needed to do in us. Right, as I start to land this plane now. So, your first major point there with those few little subheadings was there, run to the Father. The second major point that I really want to put forward is we need the body of Christ. And so Jesus goes into the Garden of Gethsemane. Who did he take with him? The disciples. So it's important for us to understand that we journey together in community. We need one another. The person in front of you, to the left of you, right of you, and behind you, God is destined for them to be here with you. And we've got to walk this journey out together. You know that your friends you can choose, but your family you can't. If you're a son of God, daughter of God, you don't get to choose the person next to you on your left or your right. God's chosen them for you. He handpicked them for you. And we do things together in community. So Andre, who's just left now, he's got to get back to Durbanville, but he's come and he's been a part of what we're doing here this morning. And just something being modeled and demonstrated that we do things in our togetherness. So as was mentioned this morning, Acts 2, 42 to 47, we embrace this journey together, devoting ourselves to apostolic preaching and teaching, to the fellowship of believers, comm groups, whatever the church gives itself to, we do this in our togetherness. And that modeled something for the world around us. Interestingly, Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens another. And so enjoy the brother and the sister that gets up your nose occasionally. Is it possible? Christians, really? Do they have issues with one another? Of course they do. But you know what? You don't pack your bags and run. You stick it out and you trust God to shape something in your life and through your life. That's demonstrating the power of the gospel as we move forward together. The other thing is we're called to care for each other. Jesus said to them, hey guys, will you wait over here? I'm going to be over there. Will you please pray for me? Galatians 2 tells us, carry one another's burdens. How do you carry each other's burdens? You pray for one another. You encourage one another. But Galatians 6 verses 5, he says, and each one is to carry his own load. I want to share something with you. Jesus asked the disciples to pray for him while he went over there to go and pray. A burden shared is halved. Okay, they fell asleep. Hopefully, us as elders and leaders in the church, when we hear about your challenges, we don't sleep. We actually spend time praying for you. But the most incredible part of that journey is that a burden shared is halved. In other words, there's another half that only Jesus could carry out because that was the call of God on his life. And I want to encourage you as saints, take ownership for where you are right now. Take ownership for the portion of your life. Nobody else can carry some of the parts that you need to carry. What we can carry is praying with you, praying for you, and then you faithfully need to seek the Lord and allow him to help you walk out the call that he has on your life. And let me tell you something. I just feel like I need to say this to some of you this morning. You know what? Maybe you've messed up. Maybe you've messed up. But God is bigger than your situation. And God can still bring you back into the path and let you finish your journey and your race well if you allow him to. There's a call for some of you here this morning. You need to know that your life is not over yet. Put your hands and your life in his hands and trust him as you move forward. And so with that, you need to make yourself vulnerable with people that you walk with. Don't share your heart with absolutely everybody, but those that you know you can trust, share your thoughts with them and get them to pray with you and for you. And then lastly, stay focused on the purposes of God. Jesus wasn't trying to get out of his calling. He knew what he was in for, the suffering and the humiliation. What he wanted to do was finish the call of God on his life. You know, he died at the age of 33. Some of us are double that age. But he was satisfied in God that he would fulfill the purposes of God because the rewards that would come after that would be far greater because you and I would hopefully be crossing that finish line hearing those words, well done, good and faithful servant. So stay focused on the call that God has for your lives. So where to from here today? What is this? How do we apply this to our lives? And very simply, the following needs to happen. What are you currently facing? Right now, as you sit here, you might have a list of 2 or 3 or 4 things. I want to say to you, name it and shame it. What are you facing? We've prayed for sickness, finances, whatever, but maybe there's stuff that hasn't been addressed. Maybe you still got that thing. What are you facing? You need to name it. Shame it. Run to the Father with it and express it to him and be totally vulnerable with him. I was totally vulnerable with him. I was mull, to be honest with you. And then I repented every time I was mull. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry that I'm so cross with you. I'm apologizing because I'm apologizing because I shouldn't be doing this. You can snuff out my life, but express it to him and talk to him. He wants you to do that. And then come back to what scriptures could you use to help you, strengthen you to fight off the enemy, and then pray those scriptures over your life and then live those scriptures out by faith. That's what we do. We live this life by faith. And then share with someone your battle. Get them to pray with you and for you. And then lastly, keep on keeping on, fulfilling the plans and purposes of God for your life, despite where you find yourself. That's my encouragement to you this morning. And I feel there's a weightiness that's resting on some of us here. You see, we think that if God really loves us, it's always going to go well. No, no. God works best in us when the crushing has to take place, when we go through the hardships, because that's where His glory is revealed. And that's where the testimonies come out, when other people see what we go through and they go, how do they do it? And we can say, just purely by the grace of God.